Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Audrey Snyder, DKSports.com in just a few moments. But first, our play-by-play call of the day as T.J. Oshie wins it for the Caps.
And now for T.J. Oshie, he and Marcus Johansson together. Here's Oshie, left side, across the Minnesota line. Drops it for MJ 90, into the right circle. The puck in front, and Oshie missed it. He had it in the right post. He had net to shoot out. He couldn't get it on net. Now for Oshie again. He scores! T.J. Oshie with the overtime game-winning goal. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
That signature call at the end, as always, when it's a Capitals broadcast. Yeah, I've told the T.J. Oshie story before. You know the one I'm talking with Dick Girardi.
Mm-hmm. Very good one.
Yeah, Dick had to get a rental car. He had to go over to Enterprise to get one. It was a driving snowstorm. It was during the Olympics. So I had on the Russia-U.S. game from Sochi on the radio. Because I have Sirius XM. And so we're going over in the snowstorm to get the car he needed. I mean, I'm talking about this kind of storm where, you know, it ended up being like a foot of snow. So it's slow going. So we heard the entire shootout while going over to the rental car. And, you know, in the Olympics, it's a different rule. If you don't want to change up the guy, you don't have to change up. It doesn't have to be a different person. So, you know, Russia scores and Oshie goes out, he scores. Russia scores, Oshie goes out and scores. Russia scores, Oshie goes out and scores. Well, every time the Americans went to choose someone, Dick would go, get Patrick Kane out there. Right? Then Oshie would score. Get Patrick Kane. Oshie would score. Patrick Kane. I finally looked over and said, I know he's really great, but what's the fascination with Patrick Kane? He goes, he's the only guy I know. Yeah. Welcome to the world of hockey. Okay. Audrey Snyder, DK Sports, joins us. Audrey, welcome back. It's always great to hear you.
Good to be chatting, Steve. Always good to come on after a Rip Hamilton reference. Always nice.
Hey, Rip Hamilton, getting it done. All right, the man who always wore a mask and didn't need to in the NBA.
That's right. A good Coatesville guy.
That's right. Good Coatesville guy. No question about that. All right. Today we'll mark the one-third mark for Penn State football spring practice. It'll be practice 5. Media gets a chance to talk with James Franklin tonight. What are a couple of things that are running through your mind that you would like to ask?
You know, one of the things I want to check in on the offensive tackles. I mean, Andrew Nelson, Brendan Mann, I mean, those are the two of the big storylines, right? I mean, we need to know how these guys are progressing and, you know, why James Franklin, you know, he's not a big fan of us asking about injuries, but it needs to be asked at this point, you know, what are these guys doing this spring? How are they progressing? And, you know, we'll see kind of what comes of that, but that's definitely something I'm curious, too, about Aaron Monroe, kind of how the competition is shaping up opposite Marcus Allen. So, I mean, there's so many guys to keep an eye on at this point. But absolutely, at this point in spring ball, Steve, we should have some updates, I would anticipate anyway.
Right. There aren't really a lot of what you'd call positional battles, so what are you looking for for depth battles in terms of the depth on the football team?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, that's one of the things at safety, right? I mean, we've got the position battle there, but you also want to know about some of these guys, and I always want to know about the redshirt freshman, you know, somebody like Shane Simmons, how is he looking? Guy like Lamont Wade, who's only been here for a few months, but how's he progressing? How much are they throwing on his plate? And I think the depth thing is really interesting when you look at their options at kick returner. Obviously, that gets a little deeper in the summer when they get some of these freshmen in here and the guys like Matt Kippenhammer. But who's back there, you know, right now for kicks and punts? Is it something where we're going to see Miles Sanders back there again on kick returns, or is Lamont Wade going to need a crack back there? I mean, I think there are a lot of options to see just kind of, you know, who's working where.
Right, yeah, at this point to see that. The defensive line, what interests you about the defensive line and the development there?
You know, I feel like we've had so many off seasons where there have always been questions about the D-line, right? I mean, it's kind of I think it's one of those evergreen Penn State stories where it's like, all right, who's going to step up next? And they've always had guys who've done it. I mean, you can go years and years back on this. So I want to know a little bit more about Ryan Buchholz. I mean, he's a guy who we saw moving inside a good bit last year. I think we'll see him continue to do that. But what's the depth look like there along the interior? I mean, what kind of younger guys are ready to take that next step? And, I mean, to me, Steve, that's the whole key, right? I mean, we can talk about linebackers, safeties, corners all we want, but if they can't generate a pass rush with a four-man front, there's going to be problems. So I think that's one of the areas, you know, when you look ahead at this team, and, you know, there's some way too early projections out there, of course, but when you look at that, to me, all the questions about this team really come back to the D-line. And what are they doing there? What guys are ready to step up? Because we've seen it. I mean, they have so many playmakers, and, you know, yes, they can do a lot of different looks and get creative with it. But when it comes down to it, what kind of pass rushers do they have? And Kevin Givens, of course, is a big part of that as well.
And the other part, too, is, the pass rush you talk about can then generate something which I know they really want more of, and that's turnovers.
Turnovers? Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a team that, you know, they haven't gotten a lot of turnovers, especially when you look at the secondary. It's kind of one of the more startling numbers, but that has to be a priority this spring.
Yeah. Trace McSorley, Tommy Stevens. Obviously, those are the two guys that are there. McSorley is obviously the starter. Everybody knows that. But what are you looking at in that spot?
You know, I want to see Jake Zembic, and he's a kid, if I recall correctly, I don't believe he played in the spring game last year.
Did not.
I think he was sick or hurt or something. So, you know, trying to get a look at him, how is he progressing? Because, again, you're going to get Sean Clifford here this summer. That's going to give you four scholarship quarterbacks, and is four a crowd at that position? I mean, I think that's where you really have to see, you know, how long are some of these younger guys willing to wait behind McSorley? And, you know, it seems as if Tommy Stevens is very clearly, you know, wants to be that backup guy to continue learning. And James Franklin even spoke about that last week. He said, you know, just because Tommy's the backup, you know, it doesn't mean that he's just taking plays off. I mean, this is a guy who has to stay prepared because, of course, as we all know, it only takes one play and then the backup becomes the starter. So I want to see more from him, but I really want to see more from Zembic.
In the bits and pieces, though, that you see Tommy Stevens, what do you like about him?
You know, I like the fact that the guy's a really good all-around athlete. You know, I think it's everybody kind of has their own ideas of what a quarterback is or what a quarterback looks like. But the fact that, you know, when we saw him in that game last year, you know, it's a guy who was kind of just a ball hawk. And I know James Franklin always refers to him as a point guard, which to me is kind of an interesting name, you know, for a quarterback, of course. But the thing there is, I mean, the guy can make plays, right? He knows who to get the ball to, who to distribute to. So it really makes sense. And I just am curious, you know, will we see some wrinkles next season where they get both of these guys involved in a game? You know, some designed plays for it like we saw against Iowa last year. Because I think Tommy, there's something different that he brings. I mean, he's obviously a bigger kid than McSorley. You know, I would like to see him throw the ball a little bit more just to kind of get a better gauge, you know, from that. But I do think there's a different skill set at play there, and I think when you combine those two things, it should be really scary for opposing defenses. So a little bit more of Tommy, then I think I'd have a better idea on it.
Yeah. What about the backup wideout? Because they're all going to have to rotate in. Mm-hmm. And then also the tight end spot behind Gesicki.
Right. I think when you look at the receiver, Steve, it's one of those things where everybody wants to say, well, oh, who's going to be the number one receiver? And I wrote about it earlier this week. And, you know, the thinking there to me is, does this offense really need a clear-cut number one receiver? Sure, you'd love to have one, but when you have as much depth as they do, I mean, you can distribute this ball around, and we've heard it all really last year, especially last offseason even, about Irv Charles and Jawan Johnson. Well, are these guys finally ready to be, you know, big-time game-changers? And I think everybody forgets about Deshaun Hamilton and the fact that this kid's 15 yards shy of 2,000 for his career, and yet somehow it's kind of like, oh, they need number one receiver. Well, you know, Blacknall certainly, you know, more than capable of being that top guy, as is Hamilton. So I really want to see the Johnson and Charles, and just if they've taken those next steps. And James Franklin said it is opening spring presser. It's about consistency with these younger guys. And also tight ends. I mean, Nick Bowers is a guy who's going to be one to watch in August when he's fully healthy and ready to go. But now, I mean, they're planning on limiting Jazicki this spring because they know what they have there. He's a big-time talent. So, you know, a guy like Jonathan Holland, who we really haven't seen much of besides special teams, where does he kind of factor into this picture? Some of these younger guys that redshirted. So, to me, Steve, I know we've talked about it before, that's what spring ball's about, right? Yeah. It's about figuring out these missing pieces and examining the depth.
How different is it covering this kind of circumstance as opposed to before?
As far as, I mean, just like because they're coming off a Rose Bowl?
Well, or? Yeah, you're talking, listen, we're talking about backup spots and things like that, mm-hmm. instead of trying to solve who's starting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you look at the offensive line, and it's like, you know, for once they have a really good problem up there, that they have a lot of flexibility. You have these tackles that are coming off of injury, but you also have the fact that, you know, you have guys who've played because of it. You know, you have the Chaz Wrights and the Steven Gonzalez's who have the experience. You have the position flexibility of a guy like McGovern. You know, you have that highly touted kid like Michael Menick who's just waiting to get in there because he has the benefit of a redshirt. So it is really different in that regard because now you can kind of see the depth shake out because, of course, these numbers, you know, have been back to a level playing field. So now it's about, okay, not only do you have better competition in practice, so you have better players, but now who are your best guys to put on the field and, you know, how do they respond? Because at this point, you know, I think one of the things that will come up tonight is how is that center spot shaping up? Connor McGovern is going to get the first crack at it. So how are things progressing there?
Audrey, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time.
Feeling curious, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder, DKSports.com. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you are looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has a brand new 2016 Black Velvet MKX all-wheel drive with navigation and panoramic vista roof with an MSRP of $48,640 for only $43,352. That's $5,288 in savings. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continentals in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The new NFL rules are out. Leaping doesn't happen any longer. They're going to do the same thing, obviously, in college football. But one of the more ridiculous things I've heard from people, and it's ridiculous, is that means that the Marcus Allen block of the field goal against Ohio State would not have counted, would have been a penalty. No, that's absurd. He went straight up and blocked it. He didn't jump over the center guard to do it. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to prevent you from flying over the top of the center guard. All right. Anyway, he went straight up and blocked it and then came down. So that play would still be completely legal under today's rules. I don't know where people come up with that. I think it's, but that's what they, you know, and the NFL is going to follow that lead as well. So these are what they're going to do in the NFL. New rule, unsportsmanlike conduct leaping, so that's out. Change outlaws strategy, the line of scrimmage to block an extra point or field goal. There were three such last year. You saw it in the Super Bowl, too, except he was offside when he did it. Players, coaches, and all the league considered it a safety risk. It was actually a fun play to watch. They all have to find a new way to defeat special teams' blocking schemes. But they don't want you leaping over the line of scrimmage to block a kick. Intentional foul and sportsmanlike conduct. Teams will now be penalized 15 yards. The game clock will be restored if they commit multiple fouls on the same play in an effort to manipulate the game clock. Something that the 49ers and Ravens did last year. And the Ravens did it in the Super Bowl as well. The 49ers committed a defensive holding on every New Orleans Saints receiver they were defending on one play during a two-minute drill, leaving quarterback Drew Brees without a viable target. The 49ers gladly traded a five-yard penalty for valuable time drained off the clock. Stronger enforcement of penalties for very egregious hits. And again, that's the multiple unsportsmanlike conduct penalty where the second one gets you tossed out of the game. Centralized replays. Well, this gives all the power to Dean Blandino now and his crew in New York. Referee can participate. They won't be going under the hood. They'll be given a device to help, but they don't make the decision. Blandino's group makes the decision. Competition committee estimates that it'll lead to a quicker review and could shave off a minute and a half per game. Okay. Now, what they have not passed yet, but they're looking at 10-minute overtime. So they're looking at that. They say they're worried about player recovery by playing extra football. Well, then why don't you get rid of Thursday Night Football if you're that worried about it? And then tweaking in anti-celebration rules. Initially, it appeared the league would encourage referees to interpret current rules more leniently and then distribute a video to help players understand the difference. Roger Goodell wants to meet with a group of players before deciding how to verbalize the new approach. Regardless, this effort was long overdue. There were only 30 such penalties last season out of a total of 40,000 plays, but they've risen sharply in recent years. They were three during the entire 2012 season. They also sparked an outsized public reaction to cementing it as the no-fun league narrative. The NFL wants celebrations to be sportsmanlike, but not provocative to opponents, which in reality describes almost all of those that we see after every score, isn't it? Hey, what do you think it is? Look, as long as you're not doing something that is profane, how about that? I could care less. You know, now why did they? Now I'll give you one that they were right to do: outlawing the dunk over the goalpost. Now you're asking yourself, now why would you say that? What's wrong with dunking the ball over the goalpost? Nothing, except if you don't do it right, you actually knock the crossbar a little bit, which then could possibly make the uprights cockeyed. That's why that one actually makes sense.
I remember that happened one time. I think it was a Thursday night game. Yeah. I want to say in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome, and I can't remember the player that did that, but yeah, it caused like a 5-10 minute delay in the game.
It might have been Jimmy Graham.
I think it was. Yeah, it was. It would have been a Saints Falcons NFL Network game.
And that's the reason why, is because it could potentially take the crossbar and make it cockeyed, which then changes, obviously, the uprights, being instead of being straight up and down, slightly turned. So that makes sense to not do that. So, but all the other stuff, I mean, there was one celebration, for example, that Antonio Brown did where, you know, I think we all know what it was. You're like, don't do that. But all the other stuff, who cares? You know, you're supposed to be having some fun. This is, you know, again, you know, we don't want the no fun league. I mean, I know you're professionals in the whole deal. I understand that. You know, let's face it. Well, actually, it's a bad example. I was going to say, you know, when the suit finally does make some sort of sale, he doesn't, because actually he does. Gets in everybody's face about it and spikes his pen. I mean, you know.
But most people. After every sale, tradition unlike any other.
So both times it happened this year, I mean, he's pretty happy about it. And,
it's not fair.
I think Drew just drove off the road.
We're starting to worry about Drew here. How many times you mention your concern he's going off the road?
I sort of need the dude. I like him.
Ditto. Me too.
Sort of like him and respect him. I don't need him driving off the road.
No.
All right. Final half hour coming up. Phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We're brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this beautiful Wednesday. We have Joe Susan, by the way, coming up on the show on Friday. Can't wait. Julian Davenport, by the way, full workout with the Patriots on Monday. Went through film, board work, and according to all reports, was very impressive. He will be working out later in the week with the Dallas Cowboys, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Houston Texans. I get you up to date on what Julian Davenport's doing. It was great to have him on the show as well before the combine. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And this will be multiple. Every single fan that either went on John Higgins' Facebook page, his business Facebook page, or to those who gave death threats to the referee of the North Carolina-Kentucky game, and these are Kentucky fans that did it. I mean, really? Really? Death threats. Oh, boy. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I mean, look, I can understand being mad at an official because you thought he or she made the wrong call. But that's because they make mistakes. They make wrong calls. It happens. But to threaten to kill somebody? I mean, he met for 2 hours with authorities over death threats. Now, we'll get ready, because guess what? He's working this weekend. I don't know which one of the three games he's working, but he's working this weekend because he has made it on merit, because he is one of the better officials out there. And this, I mean, you go out there and this is what you do. I just don't. I think I'm going to threaten the official. And people were going on his website, I think it was his business website, and giving all these bad reviews of his business, trying to get back at him. I don't get that. I'm just completely baffled by the whole thing. Completely baffled by it. I can understand the passion. I can understand being upset over something. The fact that three starters had two fouls in the first half. I've done over 1,000 games in my career, basketball-wise. I've done a lot of games where I've seen three starters get two fouls in the first half. I've also seen a lot of coaches over the years not play players once they got the second foul, and then they get fouled up the game in the process by doing that. Not always, but look, you know, you got to be able to, you know, look. It's a case by case basis. There are certain people you can't trust with two fouls, and there are certain players that you can trust with two fouls. There have been many, many games where I've seen guys pick up two fouls, then be situationally put back in the game here and there, here and there in the first half. And guess what? When they end the game, guess how many fouls they have? Two. I've seen that happen a lot. So you can't predict that. You know, I know you're always thinking and looking at worst-case scenarios, but Kentucky lost three key starters. But if, you know, they're supposedly such a deep basketball team like everybody claims, you know, with all this talent, then, you know, if the bottom line is if Fox and Monk in particular, because obviously they're the two primary shooters, they had a few extra shots. I'm talking like two or three more shots between them. Two or three shots between them. Not each, between them. They win the game. Everybody's talking about, you know, Monk's great shot at the end to tie it up. It was a great shot at the end to tie it. But most of the game, he was AWOL. Could not hit a shot, really struggled with a shot, and that happens. That happens. Same thing with Fox. As brilliant as he was against UCLA, he was a half tick off against North Carolina. Part of that was North Carolina, part of that was Fox. That's why Kentucky lost the game. They didn't lose the game because John Higgins made calls or didn't make calls or something. I don't know. Threatening officials, death threats going on their company website, because these guys are independent contractors, for goodness sakes. And I've talked about this before. An issue which is a very difficult issue to solve is the number of games officials work during the course of a week. There are some officials that work as many as five games a week. And there'll be a handful of officials every year that work over 100 games. That's a lot. Now, they're independent contractors. All of us are trying to make as much money as we can as we go along. I mean, we're not all independently wealthy like Sean, who just does it for the fun and for the glory of it. The rest of us have to work hard for a living. And, you know, these people are in the same boat. They're independent contractors, and almost all of them have other jobs. Guy I really respect, have developed a great relationship with out of the Reading area, Joe Polish. Joe Polish, a really good up-and-coming official. Really good up-and-coming official. He also works as a teacher. I remember Jody Sylvester was one of the top referees in the entire game. Man, I had great respect for him. He was a postmaster. Right? Ed Hightower. Right? Yeah, fans that were kind of hot and cold on Ed Hightower. I really liked Ed personally and professionally. Okay? Superintendent of a school in St. Louis. Or principal. He may have been the principal of a school in St. Louis. These people have other jobs besides officiating. But between the per diems, what they get paid per game, they can make some pretty good extra coin doing this. But it also brings with it the unintended consequence. How tired are they once they get to February? Because you might be doing a game in Buffalo one night, and you're in State College the next night, and then a couple nights later, you're doing a game, I don't know, pick one, Miami of Ohio. Well, you've got to travel in between those, you know, to get there. Travel takes a lot out of you. Travel takes a lot out of you.
One referee for me that comes to mind is Gene Steratore. I always see him do, he's one of the NFL refs, and then, yeah, he'll do a couple of college basketball games than during the week.
I'm not sure if, I don't know if Gene has another profession or not. That I'm not sure about, because I've talked to Gene many times. Something that he's always thought that was neat when we've talked is that I knew his dad. His dad officiated college basketball. And I don't really recall him saying if he did anything else, because between the NFL and this, he's got to be making some really good money. And you know, and he worked the Elite Eight last weekend. So Gene advanced this year. It's the deepest I know Gene's advanced in the NCAA tournament. So between the NFL and college basketball, he works a lot of games. Now, how many he works in college basketball year? Because his schedule is a little bit more limited. Hey, Gene's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, that I did not know.
Well, Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
I want to say he lives down in Washington, I think. Washington, PA, just south of Pittsburgh. But I don't think he does anything else.
I'm not sure how many NFL announcers do this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Hillgrove has done this for years. I always like to catch him at the top of the Steelers Radio Network broadcast when he reels off the officials of that day's game. He always mentions what they do Monday through Friday, the head official anyway.
Does he? Okay, yeah. Okay. So this is his job. I just looked up Gene here. Steratore and his brother Frank are the co-owners of Steratore Sanitary Supplies in Washington, PA. So, and his older brother Tony is an NFL official, is a back judge on Jerome Boger's crew. But, yeah, as I always kid Gene, I said, you got a lot more hair in your father head. He goes, oh, you really did to my dad. I said, oh, yeah. So.
I think if I have this correctly, it's an Ed Hockley. Was it a law firm, I believe?
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
But in college basketball, same thing. These guys all have other jobs. They all have other jobs. And Gene's done well. I mean, he's done the NFC Championship game. He did the Elite Eight last weekend. So he's been able to advance in both disciplines of being an NFL official and being a college basketball official. And
with him being from Pittsburgh, I kind of wonder how many Big Ten games, how many Big East games, how many... You know, ACC games, does Gene if it balances out or just where the need is?
I think Gene just does the Big Ten.
Yeah.
If he does anything else, then it's the MAC. I don't think he does anything else besides the Big Ten. I don't think he really has time up to January to do multiple conferences like that. So
I wasn't sure, like after football season, if it opened him up to do any more conference games outside of the Big Ten.
But his season, when does his season end? His season is, you know, he's done the NFC Championship game, which means his season's ending in the, what, third, fourth week of January on the NFL. I mean, Gene's a good enough NFL official where he doesn't need, his season doesn't end in December. So he has to be really careful about how he schedules himself, because he doesn't know, for example, yeah, I'll take that game on February 5th. Well, that's the day of the Super Bowl. What if Gene selected to the Super Bowl? He doesn't know. So you do have to, you know, take that into account. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll be right back. great to have you with us. Some of the top officials, for example, will work between 85 and 90. Excuse me, will work between 85 and 100 games a year. Now, take that by the number of weeks in a season. It's a lot of games. I mean, not all of them do. You know, some of the, you have to go back for some of the data, for example, to find it. And when you do, you find out that there's been some heavy workloads for some of these guys along the way. I mean, they don't have a limit. I mean, if you wanted to work seven days a week, you could work 7 days a week. You're an independent contractor. And it's a big list along the way. And that's a lot of games to work. I mean, look, I work 30 to 35 games a year announcing. But these guys, I mean, and the travel, it's the travel part. That's the travel part. I mean, when I do baseball, you do baseball in 3-game increments, 5-game, 6-game home stands, but you're at least in the same spot for 3 straight days when you do something that, usually. All right? But these guys work in a different town every year. Now, there is a limit here. I mean, I'd say the vast majority of officials do work under 75 games a year. But there is that handful of guys like the Jamie Luckies of the world where they're up around 90 to 100 every year. Let's face it, you make thousands of dollars a night. And you can make $3,000-$4,000 a night. And for example, if you're in the metro, say you're in the metro, you might be making $1,500 a night. That's for the metro. And that's amazing money. Again, if you're independently wealthy like Sean is, it's no big deal. That's big. I mean, there used to be something called statsheet.com that actually gave you the numbers. And they pulled the site down. Okay. Used to give you all the numbers all the time. You knew how many games these guys were working. They didn't want that out there. Yeah, that's amazing. But Statsheet also had, for example, a lot of KenPom numbers and things like that. And look, KenPom, the numbers that they put out on that site, they are numbers that are amazing. And that's why Statsheet got pulled down. It had nothing to do with the officials. It is, when I talk about some of the numbers I go through and I research, now you do have to subscribe to it. But you don't have to be a multimillionaire to subscribe to it. It's no big deal. But he has lots and lots of data. Now, he doesn't have any data on officials on there. I mean, he doesn't. But Ken Pomeroy is the one that really, all these efficiency numbers and things like that, very impressive. Very impressive. Tomorrow, let's see, I'm trying to think, not tomorrow, but Friday, Joe Susan's going to be on the show.
Don't up, we'll talk spring ball with Coach, and also he'll be talking about an event that the football team will be taking part of, a very worthwhile cause coming up Monday at Bucknell. Tell you more about that on Friday.
Yeah, looking forward to that very much. That's going to be a great, great program they have. Great program. Then we'll get up to date on what spring ball's going and so forth. Just have a gut feeling it's going to be a big year for Bucknell. Just a gut feeling. One-third mark of spring practice today. Tell you more about it later.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.